That is a good go along with the sermon song, I think. And I love it. Love it when that happens. I want to talk to you this morning about the patience of Job. I told the choir when we were coming up, I said, I'm going to preach on patience one of these days. Well, it's this morning. But the patience of Job. And we know the story of Job. We're not even going to turn to the book of Job. The Bible says in verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." And by the way, that is where happiness is. It's when you have patience. Just be patient. Amen. But it says, "Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord." Now, I was thinking while they were singing, I've read the whole book. Amen. I've read it a few times. How many of you have ever read all the way through the Bible? All right. How many of you read the end? Do you know who wins? Amen. Just be patient. That's what we're going to have to be patient. You say, well, it doesn't look good. Oh, it's okay according to God. We just need to be patient. I'm sure there were many, many times in the life of Job as he sat in sackcloth and ashes, which was a sign of mourning, and it didn't look good at all. And let's be honest, as you read the book of Job, there's a lot of times you probably scratch your head and say, you know, it doesn't look good for old Job. Things are not looking good at all. But Job, you're just going to have to be patient. Here's what I say. Christian, you need to be patient. Mom, you need to be patient. Dad, you need to be patient. Young person, I'm telling you, you're going to have to be patient. And Christians, we're going to have to be patient. Berean Baptist Church, it's going to require patience. And we know how the thing is going to end. We know the end of the Lord. We've seen the end of the Lord. We've seen what the Lord can do. We're just going to have to be patient. And we're going to have the patience of Job. And again, the whole story, just in a nutshell, Job has everything and he loses it all. I'm talking about his health. I'm talking about all his finances. I'm talking about all his friends turned against everybody. His own wife told him to curse God and die. I mean, Job, your life's a mess. And he loses everything. And it's one of the hardest things to read as you think about when is this going to end. But I do want to remind you how it all started out. And it started out where God said, "Consider my servant Job." He said, here's somebody you can look at. Why? Because God knew that Job would be patient. God knew that Job, no matter what happened in Job's life, God knew that Job would be patient. And so let's talk a little bit about the patience of Job this morning. And I believe it'll be a help to us. Father, thank you for all the good music today. And I pray that we would be strong and recognize, God, that you are God. You have everything under control. Help us to have the patience of Job in our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting, this passage starts off with verse 7, "Be patient, therefore." And every time I see a therefore, I want to see what it's there for, amen. And you have to look in front of it. You have to read the verses in front of it. And obviously, God is talking here to brethren. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. I guess if I were to encourage people with anything, I would say just exactly what James said here. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. I mean, honestly, but I want to know what the therefore means. Well, it's in contrast to verses 1 through 6, who are these rich people. And it really, this is a warning to the rich and to those who are not interested in the things of God. It's not just rich people, but it's because their riches, verse 2 says, their riches are corrupted, their garments are moth-eaten. In other words, they have given themselves up to worldly pleasures and worldliness. And God says, and God issues a warning to them. Things are not always going to be like that. Things are going to be bad. I'm reminded of the rich man in Luke 16. The Bible says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment." I want to remind you that riches, they don't last. All the gold and all the silver and all the precious stones in the world will not help somebody who is lost. Eventually, they will die. They will go to a devil's hell, and they will be tormented forever. And so a warning, he says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Hey, it doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter how much savings you have, miseries do come upon you. And difficult times come upon you. Your gold and silver is cankered. The rust of them shall be a witness against you and will eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who've reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of it, in other words, they've ripped people off. They've done wrong. They've cheated people in order to obtain their wealth. The cries of them which ye have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. And then God says, be patient, therefore, brethren. He warns those that are not interested in godliness. He warns those who are not part of the brethren. He warns those that have no desire for God's will to take place. And he lets them know that things will not always be like that. In fact, their end is coming. But he says, okay, and brethren, I want to tell you, be patient. I want to tell you that those that hate me and hate you, that is coming to an end one of these days. I want to tell you that persecution, and again, in this day, in James' day, there was great persecution. And he says, I want you to know that persecution, it will have an end, and those who are persecuting, they will get exactly what they deserve. You see, the truth of the matter is, he gives a great warning to the rich, but really what he wants to do is he wants to let us know, be patient. Be patient. He gives a warning to the ungodly, but really he wants you and I to know, just keep doing right. Just as the song would say, just stand strong. Just be patient. Be patient. Well, how long? Unto the coming of the Lord. Just be patient. It may look like things are bad. It may look, boy, there's stuff going on in our world today, and we've been reading about it this week, and all I could think is Job, of all people in the Bible that you want to look at is someone who's patient. It's so fitting that God said, I want to tell you about the patience of Job. I cannot think of anybody who had it coming at him from every direction to the point where he sits in sackcloth and ashes in mourning. I'm sure tears were streaming down his cheeks. And those who called themselves friends even turned on him. And yet Job remained patient. He remained patient. I'm telling you this morning that in your home, you need to be patient. A church, we need to be patient. Individuals, you need to be patient. Many, many people do not understand what it means to be patient. And so I want to give you some things today as we think about the patience of Job. And number one is the definition of patience. The definition of patience. Because we think about patience, and you know, most, like a mom here today, thinks about Poindexter. You know, boy, I need patience. Poindexter is really getting to me. Well, or Throckmorton or who it may be. And by the way, any of you that are having children, come on, somebody name that boy Poindexter. Amen. I told you, Mrs. Roger, if we have another one, I'm pretty sure that's my out, by the way. But anyway, what is it? Well, patience simply means to remain under. You say, well, that's pretty, you know, that's kind of a general. No, really. It just means remain under. Patience is not a word we use when everything's going well. Okay? We don't talk about patience when you're feeding, it's lunchtime and little Wilda Smear is sitting there in their little seat, and you have your little the baby food and you're putting it in his mouth, and he goes, now you need patience. But when he's sitting there and he's eating and he's laughing and he's doing everything like he's supposed to do, you know, you don't need patience then. Remain under means that you just stay under the pressure that you are under. Remain under means something is weighing heavy on you. Something is pushing you. In fact, in Job's case, it was pushing from all sides. And boy, that's tough. When you're getting crushed from all sides, that's tough. There's people in this room right now, you kind of feel that way, don't you? It's kind of like, you know, it's behind me, it's beside me, it's over here, it's here. I don't have any way to go, and I'm being crushed. And God says, remain under. That's patience. Just hang in there. That's a good term for patience. Hang in there. I remember I had an English teacher, and boy, that was a long time ago. Yes, we spoke English back then. And I had an English teacher that used to write on my papers, hit. And I used to, you know, I finally had to ask her, I said, why are you always writing hit on my English papers? She said, well, that means hang in there. And so I understood. I thought she was angry and she wanted to punch me or something. I didn't know. But hang in there. And what do you mean? Well, again, there's pressure and it's tough. And everything seems to be going against me. And by definition, God says, you need to just remain under that pressure. Why would he tell us to remain under pressure? Well, because he put the pressure in your life. Amen. I'm studying the waters, all the deep waters, and the waters of the Sea of Galilee, and the waters at the Red Sea, and the waters of Jordan, the Jordan River, and all the deep waters. And every time people went to those waters, it was because God led them there. Jesus said, get in the ship, let's go. You say, no, I want to avoid that. I want to stay away from that. And God said, no, look, if there's pressure in your life, I've let it happen. Come on, we read the book of Job. We know God was in on all that. And it's not that God is afflicting Job. He's just letting the devil do it. You have to be a very casual student of the scripture to not recognize that God is allowing everything to happen in Job's life that happens to him. And when God says, hey, I want you to look at Job, he's saying Job was a man that stayed under the pressure when he could have wiggled his way out. God says, I want you to, there's always a way to run. God says, I brought the pressure. I let the pressure in your life. You remain because there's something for you. Oh, hey, remember Job, it all worked out pretty well for him, didn't it? God doubled everything he had. That doesn't mean his heart wasn't broken. That doesn't mean, you know, we read the story of Job and how it ends up and everything's doubled and all the land and the livestock and he had more children and all of that. But that doesn't mean that when he visited the cemetery of his other children, his heart wasn't broken. It doesn't mean there wasn't sorrow. It's just God said, I have a purpose for Job. And my purpose for Job is, hey, Satan, consider my servant. Now, Job, you just stay right there. Remain under. So I can't take it. No, just remain under. You can take it. I can do all things through Christ. And you sit here today ready to quit. You sit here today ready to give up. You sit here today in some kind of financial problem or some kind of a decision problem and you're ready to make a bad decision, a wrong decision. You're ready to quit. You're ready to compromise something. And God says, hey, you just be patient. Just remain under. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Till he comes, be patient. You say, what if he doesn't come? Just be patient till he does. Well, that means it could be the rest of my life. Amen. Then be patient the rest of your life. Be patient. It means remain under pressure. Patience is not for retreaters. Patience is for remainers. To quit, to compromise. Whoa. You know, the preacher said the other day, he said, you know, Brother Storm said, Brother Hiles, you say, just cut those words out of your dictionary. Quit and compromise. And I agree totally with that. But God says, but don't cut out the word patient. Be patient. Just stay under that pressure. Patience is for folks that are under lots and lots of pressure. Remain. Don't quit. I remember in college, the preacher down there, He gave another definition. It's steadfast endurance, and I like that. But I've always been kind of simple. Whenever I think of patience, I think of a guy with a great big old rock on him like this, and he's under it. And it just keeps pushing on him. And then I see people piling on top of the rock, you know, and causing trouble here and causing trouble there, and he just stays. Can you quit? You're not supposed to quit. God says, remain under. Just keep going under pressure. By the way, who in the world do we think told us we aren't supposed to have pressure? Well, the psychiatrist. Well, phooey on the psychiatrist. You know? Well, now, you're feeling a lot of pressure and you're feeling a little bit of stress. You better take some pills. Who says you're not supposed to have stress? Come on. Help me out. This is a Baptist church. Okay, we're listening to too much stuff. Now, if you have a doctor that tells you I'm not telling you that's wrong. I'm just saying, here's one way to get out from under all pressure, all stress. Just take, for me, it would be if I took enough Benadryls, I would have no pressure or stress. Benadryl just knocks me out. Amen. Now, I could get rid of it. In fact, I had a doctor one time. He said, Benadryl is a poor man's nerve pill. And I thought, well, I'm poor, and I got serious stress. Yeah, I think I'll start popping Benadryls. But that's not the answer. I know. Now, I'm not, if your doctor tells you, I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying that's not always. Look, God has told us, just stay under pressure. We want to get rid of the pressure. That's why there's a new church starting every day somewhere. A new kind of church and new kinds of ideas and all this kind. We want to relieve all the pressure. Well, like the preachers tell me I got to serve God all the time. You do need to serve God. Amen. Well, it's rough on me. Well, look at my head. Seriously, folks, it's who says it's not supposed to be rough? The patience of Job. Hey, Job, what'd you do? Well, I had all the pressure and I just stayed under it. Amen. And you know what? Conquer in the midst of the trial. Keep serving in the midst of the trial. Look, he was writing here to persecuted Christians. I'm not talking about somebody made fun of them because they carried their Bible. I'm not talking about somebody made fun of them because they prayed at work. I'm talking about people that were losing families and losing their lives and all of that. Go back to James 1 and verse 1 and look at it and you get an idea. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And why were they scattered? Well, they're scattered because they're under attack. And who says we're not supposed to be? That's all I'm asking. Who says, Jesus said that they're not going to hate you, they hate him. Well, if you stand for him, why wouldn't they hate you? Definition of patience, to remain under pressure. Number two, we see the determination of patience. Number one, we see the definition. Number two, the determination of patience. It is a determination. He says, be patient therefore, brethren. Verse 8, be ye also patient, establish your hearts. Decide. I'm going to remain under. I sat as a preacher boy in class, and I did not grow up in church. It was all new to me. Other guys would say in chapel, turn in your Bible to, and they turned right to it. Other times in preacher boys' class, they'd say, turn in your Bible, and if it was Nahum or Obadiah, it's bad for me. I had no idea what a Nahum and an Obadiah was. I was one that pronounced Malachi Malachi. I thought, oh, the Italian book. I mean, I didn't know. And all these preacher boys, you know, so many of them, they grew up in church and they understood all that. And I remember when preachers would come and they'd talk about the tough times. I remember believing them that it's going to be tough. And I wrote down in my notes when people gossip and when people do this and when someone does that and when something. And I wrote, and I remember as a young preacher just starting out, getting out my notes and trying to figure what in the world. Wow. But the one thing that just kept with me was they challenged me to decide now. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to remain under. It's a determination. Patience is not something that we have. It is something that we do. It is something that you make a conscious decision. Why do we have altar calls all the time? It is to solidify decisions that we've made. It is to make it serious that we are making serious kinds of decisions. Do you understand, folks? Christians in other parts of the world are dying for the cause of Christ. Children are being executed for the cause of Christ. And it's because a Sunday school teacher said, "Hey, are you going to stand for Jesus or not?" And a little child sat there and said, "I'm going to stand for Jesus." And we cringe at that thought. We cringe at that thought. But I'm just saying, you know, it's a matter of God told us. All those that, you know, hey, we've got it made. We're worshiping our money, and we've got our money, and we've got our religion. We've got all that. We don't need Jesus. And all that crowd, God says, you have it now, but you won't have it. But my brethren, you be patient. You be patient. It is not something you have. It is something you do. That's why the Bible says this, tribulation worketh patience. Amen. Because when everything's going great, you're not remaining under anything. Oh, I'm remaining under blessings. Yes. And that's what we like. Come on, I mean, honestly, it's just like we know what's coming. We've had frost this morning on the windshield. Somebody said, "Pastor, you think we'll have another mountain out there?" Well, we know there will be a mountain out there sometime or another. It may just be a hill. That's what I'm praying for. But we know all that's going to... But we don't have any problem when it's 75 degrees. We don't have any problem when it's a sunny day. You know, it's just we know there's going to be some tribulation, and the roads are going to be icy, and it's going to be difficult, and we're going to have to walk through snow, and we're going to have to shovel snow, and we know those things are coming. And we who are getting older, we know there's lots of opportunity for tribulation in our lives. Amen. But it's that tribulation, it's that trouble, it's that problem. That's what works patience. It's just the more that's piled on. Oh, I just can't take it anymore. And God says, but you can take it. Because he'll never let anything pile on too much. He doesn't let you get crushed like a bug. Amen. It's a determination. I am going to make up my mind. He said, establish your heart. You know, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. Why? For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Amen. What is he going to find when he comes? You understand the rapture could take place anytime. What's he going to find when that trumpet sounds? You know what I think it should be Christians are remaining under. Patient. You know what I'm seeing though? I'm watching more and more just drop off the scene. You know, I don't want this. God said build an ark. I don't want to build an ark. Too much pressure. Too much pressure. God said preach the word. Too much pressure. I'm going to tell you, folks, there's a lot of pressure in just standing up preaching the word today. Houston, Texas, 5 pastors, they're in trouble. They were subpoenaed to turn over their sermons because they preached against the homosexual movement in the Bill of Rights kind of, the civil rights kind of issues that Adrian already gave into. But listen to me. Yeah, well, they were subpoenaed for their sermon notes. Well, you say, yeah, but you know that's not going to amount to anything. It all amounts to something. And here's what it's amounting to. It's we just need to be patient. You know, don't quit. Don't compromise. Don't give up. Just keep going. That's what we need to do. It's a determination. Patience is a determination. Well, how long, Lord? How long? Till Jesus comes is what he said. Oh, yeah. People are learning. You can get out from under that pressure. Yeah. Quit. Change your convictions. I'm so frustrated with people changing their convictions. Well, I didn't really mean it. No, you just don't like the rock that's been dropped on your head. You just don't want to stand and have pressure. You don't want the family to pressure you. God called me to Bible college, and immediately the family started to pressure me. Oh, come on, you'll never make it. Come on, that's not a good move. Come on, you're doing great at RCA. You're making lots of money. You and your wife have a nice house, and don't you want to be a success? And all that junk and the pressure. Would have been easy to get out from under the pressure. Folks, listen to me. It is not time to retreat. It is time to charge, and we've got to set our hearts. That's what he says, that we're going to remain under. How long? Till Jesus comes. Till Jesus comes. He says in verse 9, he says, grudge not one against another, brethren. You know, it is funny how under all this pressure, what would be the easiest way to help with the pressure? Us. We could help each other. If Tim's got a big boulder on him, what better way to help Tim than to go help him with his big boulder? That's what the Bible says, bear one another's burdens. You know, I may not be able to remove that boulder, but I can at least go help you. We have a beautiful picture of it with Aaron and Hur in the Bible, and Moses, as the children of Israel are in a battle, and as long as Moses kept his arms up, they won the battle. But when his arms came down, they lost the battle. And Aaron and Hur came and they held up his arms. You know, but if Aaron is mad at Moses, well, you parked in my spot. Can you just see how silly that is? Well, you know, I don't like what you said, Moses. You know, and he leans on the rock instead. He starts pulling down his arm. Unfortunately, that's what's happening today. We need each other so much the more as you see the day approach. That's we need each other. But you know, we always are looking for somebody to blame. Instead of saying, you know what, could you help me with my boulder? Could you help me with my pressure? Could you help me with my problem? Amen. Amen. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. I believe the day is so close. What you gonna do? I'm gonna be patient. Do you understand what we just went through? And I hate to keep, it's just such a great illustration of life. With the flood out there, with the roof and all that. And what do we have to, we just had to be patient. Now, we didn't have it bad. Amen. There were a couple days when we had people coming in, they had to dodge the drips. You know, we really didn't have it bad. People have it a whole lot worse. But what we just had to be patient. We had to be patient when our cars got stuck in some of the potholes out there in the drive. We had to be patient. You know, you drive in, you know, and you get here, and oh, I'm glad I made it up the drive. Yeah, I know. It's tough when you get out of your car out there and you can hear Chinese talking. Anyway, but those days, we just had to be patient. You just had to be patient. And so it's a determination. Number one is the definition. It means to remain under. Number two, determination. We have to set our heart. I will not quit. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to compromise. Jesus is the way, and I'm going to stand. And if they tell me I cannot pray in his name, I'm going to pray in his name because that's the only name to pray in. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There isn't any other way. And number three, we see the declaration of patience. What is that? Well, let's dig a little deeper into it. Romans 5 and verse 3. And I'm just covering this briefly, but boy, it's just so good. Romans 5 and verse 3. You say, preacher, do you really think it's that bad? I'll tell you, there's folks under a lot of pressure today. And I'm not even talking about, you know, if you take the government and all the stuff that's going on out of it, I'm talking about just in life, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure. Pressure from within, pressure from without, pressure. You know, we've got to stay true. As the poor is just saying, we got to be strong for the Lord. And so a declaration of patience, what is it? Romans 5 and verse 3. So important to take this step. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. What? What? We glory in tribulations? Yeah, because it says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Wait a minute, what are you saying? I'm saying I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to praise God when tribulation comes. Well, yeah, but wait a minute. No, we glory in tribulations. We praise God no matter what. Come on, we have example after example after example in the Scriptures. The Bible says about Job that he sinned not with his mouth. And what's the first thing we do when that big boulder starts to press us down? We sin with our mouth. We gripe, we complain, we whine, we get angry, we say things. The declaration of patience is this: my God is in control. He is in control, and therefore I will glory. I will praise God. God knows exactly what we need. He knows that that's what I need. One time I went to a spas were first came out, and it was more of an exercise. Remember the one down in Florida, down in college? I have no idea. We started going, Bob Brenneman and Jeff Price and I started going to a spa. And it wasn't a spa like you think of today where it's all you just sit in the hot steam and all that. But it was a, what is it? Yeah, it was men alone, right? Yeah, my wife wants to know that. That was back before they decided, you know, back in those days, men had their things and women had theirs. Nowadays, we don't know who's a man and who's a woman. So they just mix everybody. Boy, I about said something that would have got me in trouble. They'd want my sermon notes. But actually, it's not in my notes. None of the controversial things I say are ever in my notes. So my notes, in fact, they probably couldn't even read my notes. I can hardly read them. But anyway, we were going down there, and I had a trainer that was teaching me, you know, how to lift weights and do everything right. And I remember some of those things. It's hard to believe I ever did that. Anyway, well, at least nobody amen that. But anyway. And this trainer, he said, now look, listen to me, I'm not going to let you do something that's going to hurt you. And I thought he was going to kill me. I mean, I'm serious. He would get the weight, and it was always, you know, it was always just enough. And I was able to lift that weight just enough. And I was able to do whatever that exercise was. It was always just enough. And I remember just as a new Christian thinking, that's how God is. God, he gives me just enough to work my patience, not to kill me. Do you know God at any time, we can die. I mean, honestly, you know, you get this idea, you're going to let me die. Well, he doesn't have to let you die. He can just say, die, and it's done. That pressure, you know, when you exercise, that pressure, that's what builds your strength. That tribulation, that patience, that's what prepares me for what's ahead. I need to remain under that weight, that problem. I need the test. I need the problem. I need the experience. Why? Well, because tribulation worketh patience. And eventually it becomes experience. And you know, when it becomes experience, I can draw on that experience. Say, you know what? I made it through this. I can make it through this. There's some folks, honestly, you haven't made it through anything yet. Been saved for years and you've just never made it through anything because you always quit when the pressure comes. I think a guy's trying to, you know, well, bless God, I'm going to get my CDL and I'll drive a bus. And you've been going to get it now, and now you're about too old to get it. Because you've been going to get it, but, well, I had to know how much air pressure to put in the tires, and I just couldn't get it. You know, I had to study this, I had to study that, I just couldn't do it. Just do it. Amen. You know, but you quit, and you never can. One of the great things about Bible college is just to get through. I draw on it all the time. I remember so many times when my wife would be having a tough time, and I'd say, honey, you know, this is God's will. We'll make it. And then only to turn around, and I've had a terrible day, and everything's gone wrong. And I said, you know, maybe we need to. And she'd say, wait a minute. This is God's will, remember? Amen. And we had that experience. And we draw on our past experience and some of the battles and some of the things, you know. And the Bible says eventually it comes to hope. It leads to hope. And what's hope? Well, the future looks good when you have hope. You know, quitters are people that don't think there's any hope. A quitter is, you know, imagine a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who would have said, okay, king, we won't bow down because we just can't even imagine getting out of this mess. But what did they say? They said, oh, king, no matter what happens, if we burn up, we're free of you. And if we make it through, we're free of you. We win. That sounds like some guys that had hope. It's so different than the people of the day that just quit after any little thing that takes place. And we need to remain under. It causes patience to work. It becomes experience. And pretty soon I become pretty convinced that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I really can. So I says, you're cocky. No, I'm convinced. I'm not convinced that I can do anything, but I am convinced that He can do anything. And I'm going to stand. I'm going to remain under. I encourage you to do the same. I come to my last point. Number one is the definition of patience. Number two, the determination of patience. Number three is the declaration of patience. And number four, the last thing, is the destination of patience. How does it all end? Well, it ends good. As long as we remain under. It has never ended good for anyone who quit. I often think about those folks at the Red Sea. And you know there had to have been some Israelites that said, well, I'm not gonna go through there. There is no way. You know, there had to be some that turned around and went back. Now, I don't know if there was, but in my mind I have to imagine. And if I were writing the movie about it, I'd have somebody be a coward. But the truth of the matter is, it always works out good when you just trust God. And what's it say? Good example, verse 7, the farmer, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. He plants a seed and then he has to wait. And he has long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. He just plants his seed and he has to wait. He can't make it rain. He can't make the weather do what it's supposed to do. He can't do it. He just has to wait. He can't make the seeds grow. I remember when I was little and we planted flowers, seeds. And I planted my seed and I watched it. It didn't last very long, did it? You know, it doesn't happen like that. It takes time. And what do you have to do? You just have to be patient. And the farmer, by faith, he plows, he plants, and then he depends on something that he cannot control. And he simply remains under. He does all he can, and then he trusts God with the rest. I don't know of any better vocation than a farmer where you just you have to trust God. Could be pressure with it raining. Could be pressure. It's always interesting. Could be not enough rain or too much rain. I've watched farmers go through both. I've watched farmers go through both in the same season. I've watched farmers literally pray for rain because it's too dry, and then it rains and say, oh God, you got to stop the rain because all my crops are underwater. And it's just a matter of being patient. God's still God. He's in control. How about he gives the example of the farmer, but in verse 10, he gives the example of the prophet. He says, take my brethren, the prophets, who've spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Think about the prophets. I mean, next time, you know, somebody looks at you kind of harsh and hurts your little feelings, and you say, I'm just going to quit. Think about the prophets. Men of God that have preached the word of God and suffered. You say, well, I can't think of anybody offhand. Thank you for asking. Hebrews 11 gives us a whole list. It gives us a list of what they went through. And I'm going to show you something today that should amaze you. And it's all over Hebrews 11. By faith, by faith, by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith. And they kept being in faith. In verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. But they never received that promise. But they kept going without the promise. But they kept going. And then you have these folks. It says, and what shall I more say for the time, verse 32, would fail to tell me of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. By the way, who wants to be near the mouth of a lion? Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. This is not a fun list. Sawn asunder. Nothing about that sounds good, does it? They were tempted. Were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Not here on this side. Do you get it? They didn't get it. They didn't receive the promise. These prophets, they preached. They wanted to see revival. They wanted to see great things. I mean, praise the Lord for souls saved. Praise the Lord for Vacation Bible School. Pardon me when I get excited about souls saved at the fair. Excuse me when I get excited when a young lady comes to my office and gets saved and then gets baptized. Excuse me when I'm fired up about that. But we don't see most of it. You're not going to see. You don't see most of what you've done for the Lord on this side. But how about those prophets? That guy that was sawn asunder, that just was preaching the word of God, and literally they cut him in half. Well, he got his life back together. In heaven, it's going to be good. Is it ever going to be good? Man, you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Oh, wow. I don't even want to be a martyr. But if I'm really patient, I might be. Quartered, where they pull you in fourths. Yeah, there's nothing fun about that. But these prophets, these people in Hebrews, we always read it and say, well, bless God, the hall of faith. They didn't see what they stood for. They do now. You know, you and I, honestly, I've not been to heaven. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard. I don't know. I just know what the Bible says about it. I've never been there. but I will be there one of these days. That's why I would encourage you to talk more about heavenly things and talk about Jesus and talk about spiritual things. And you know, you folks that are always negative and talking negative about this, that, and the other thing, oh, woe is me, the end is near. You know, hey, instead of woe is me, the end is near, how about, well, praise God, the end is near. Amen. Amen. And then I close with verse 11. It says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Endure what? Under. They're happy, those that endure, those who remain under. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Do you understand Job was better off than anybody else just sitting in his sackcloth and his ashes? Did you see God bragging on him as he sat in his sackcloth? Are you listening to me? I mean, God's bragging. God's talking about it. God is very pleased with Job as he sits and he takes a potsherd and he scrapes the pus and the dried up blood off his body. And his friends are making fun of him, telling him, what in the world have you done, Job, you wicked, vile sinner? And his wife says to him, Job, just curse God and die. And Job just says, God, I love you, and though you slay me, yet will I trust you. And God says, oh, wow, I love that guy. But my Bible says, now look, Job could have died like that, and he was still better off than a quitter. But just remember this, the Lord is very pitiful. He has pity and of tender mercy. And every now and then, just like Job, he's going to give something. And it's going to be greater than anything you could even imagine. The destination of patience, it could be in heaven, but most of the time, God's going to give you something. Today, tomorrow, next week, the end of the month. Sometimes it's opening up that mailbox and there's that unexpected check and it's just enough. Amen. Sometimes it's you look at the checkbook, there's not enough in there, but all of a sudden you don't have to buy that thing you thought you were going to have to buy because somebody gave it to you. There's so many ways that God does this because our Lord is pitiful and of tender mercy and he loves us. And one day he just says, Job, he says, pray for your friends. Pray for my friends? Yeah. Pray for your friends, Job. You mean these guys that have been mocking me? You mean these guys that have been accusing me? Pray for the, yeah, just pray for your friends, Job. Pray for them. I know Job is human. And in my mind, I think Job, you know, it might have been one of these, God, kill him slowly. But it wasn't like that. I think Job probably said, Father, I pray that you'll help my friends to see that I've not done anything wrong. And I hope that you'll bless my friends. And God said, that's what I thought you'd do, Job. And the Bible says the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And all of a sudden, he has double what he had before. Again, there's still sorrow. There's still pain. But he remained under. It's always best to remain under. I close with Galatians 6. And verse 9, as we think about the patience of Job. Galatians 6 and verse 9, the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we don't reap on this side. Now, I think you will, because I believe the Lord is pitiful and of tender mercy. And he'll give you something. He'll do something along the way as that pressure builds. He'll do something along the way. You'll have blessings after blessings. But I got news for you. There's coming a day when we get to heaven. And I promise, you know, the song says it will be worth it all. And I'm not questioning it's worth it all now. But I'm going to tell you, one of these days, folks, those who remained under. Do you understand those prophets that walked wandered around in sheepskins and goatskins and lived in caves and all that? Do you understand what their mansion's going to be like in heaven? Now, I'm not saying it's better than your mansion or anything else. I'm just saying, boy, to hear him say, well done, just be patient. Be patient.